You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Neil Williams, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Neil Williams. Neil.
Bruce.
Sporting a tan, I see.
Eventually, it will be a tan. Right now, not so much. I turn red.
I'm glad to be in this low light. I'm pretty untanned over here, so but I'll catch up. It's another life goal, I guess.
Half of our family turns a nice shade of brown, and the other half turn completely red, and that would be me and my dad.
Oh wow! So, okay.
Yeah, we just burn.
Yep. Well, happy Easter! Hopefully, you had a great Easter weekend.
Yeah, it was nice. How was yours?
It was good.
You did some traveling, though.
Did some traveling to the Panhandle.
Good.
To see our sister facility up there in the Panhandle, so that was good to visit with those folks and see some family in the process. So it was good.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Good.
All right.
Well, today we are going to discuss, is my system working? And I want to explain where this came from, because I know I didn't tell you a whole lot of background on it. I'm reading this book, Atomic Habits by James Clear. Have you heard of it?
No, I haven't.
So I'm sure it'll keep going around. I don't look. When did this come out? But I keep hearing more and more about it. In fact, I grouped, so 2018, and I'm just now hearing a lot about it. It's a really cool book, and Atomic Habits, it's about building on these small changes, a series of small changes over time when practiced with consistency will develop into big changes. So it talks about compound interest. You know, if you make these small changes and continue to make more and more changes and do them over time, the results are quite large. And in one of the chapters, he's talking about how your system is more important than your goal. So you have your goal. We all have goals, and we're always telling each other to set new goals and to have something to work towards. But we don't talk enough about the system or the process to reach those goals. Because ultimately, and he says this in the book, ultimately, your goal is meaningless if you don't have an efficient process. So if you don't have an effective system to get you there, then what does it even matter? We can talk about Las Vegas all the time and how great it is, but if we don't know how to get there, who cares, right? I mean, what does it matter what it is if you don't know how to get there?
Mm-hmm.
So I broke this down into a, you know, really just five questions that I feel like we should all be asking ourselves when we do have a goal or when we have a destination, something we're going to work towards. For you, before we get into this, when you set goals, first of all, do you do an annual or a monthly? Do you even do things that way?
It's probably at least monthly that I do it to some extent, and I'll actually take a look back first and look at the stuff that I didn't do or didn't get around to, because that usually happens with me. I take on a lot of things and then kind of look what I didn't do and try to get those things done first. That's part of the system, right?
Yeah.
Set that up in the priority list and then look toward the future of new prospects or new things at all.
Yeah, because you're building on some of the ones that you did accomplish. I'm the same. I always, what I do is I set annual goals And then, of course, they break down into smaller steps to get there. But I always have stuff that didn't make the priority list, you know? Mm-hmm. And Dave Ramsey talks about that. When you're paying off debts, you have this list of priorities, and some people just don't make it. And when they call you and they ask, "What? I didn't get paid this month," it's like, "Well, you didn't make the list, ran out of money," or for us, it's ran out of time. And some things just don't make the list.
And not only that, I add stuff like I bought a bird feeder for outside my window here. But I forgot to get the bird seed. So I have this bird feeder in a stand, but I forgot the bird seed. So, I mean, I'm actually adding those things in to the weekly sub-goal thing. Yeah. And treating it like a goal, you know. So it's amazing, even basic life things are now entering my goal sheet. Mm-hmm. If I don't get those basic life things done, I really can't hit these other goals. If that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, it does. And I think for a lot of people who set goals, I've seen something that I see a lot is people who set these goals and then they don't ever determine how to get there. So the first question is, do I have a system or a process that efficiently moves me closer to my goal? So I have a friend who their goal was to get a promotion. And so their goal is this promotion. So I said, okay, so, you know, how are you going to make that happen? Is there a review coming up? Do you have a review in midway through the year, or, you know, what does that look like? And they're like, well, yeah, I have a review coming up in August. I said, okay, so what's your plan? You know, how do you plan to lobby for that promotion? Like, I mean, of course, we all want to get promoted, right? I mean, I'm sure most of us do. We want to make more money, have more responsibility and things like that, and look good on our resume. We're like, well, I don't know. I'm just going to do a good job. And I was like, what else? And they didn't have anything else. And I think we would all be surprised if we were to realize how many people actually do this. That's my goal. And I'm hoping to hit it. That's not effective. So for me, and I'll go first, I don't know if you have a process, but for me, I take my goal and then ask myself, okay, what's required to get there? Because there's always going to be some things that are required. And then I break those things down and I set steps in order to work towards those smaller ones. But there has to be a step. For example, when I wanted to become a coach, a professional coach, what's needed? First, there's a certification. Then there's a business title. How do you do that? You know, then there's all these things that go into LLC, DBA, insurance, things like that.
We've had all those discussions.
Do what?
Remember our discussions before all that took place?
Mm-hmm. I do.
All right.
I do. Okay. And there's a lot to it. So
that's right. And you did those things, you know?
So, yeah. So I think it's really important that we always think about, do you have a way to get there? It's just like getting a job. If you don't have a car, you better figure out another way to get there. Right. So what is it? Is there a specific, do you ever look at it that way, or do you just assume that you're going to move towards your goal?
No, I never assume anything. You know, I mean, I never assume anything. Anything could happen at any time. But that's a good thing and that's a bad thing, because sometimes we have to pivot. We have to make adjustments. But I will share. Hold on a second.
I will. Okay. I said, where are you going?
People's exhibit. I know. What am I doing?
Wasn't there a show where a guy used to bring stuff out of his bag?
There it is. See that? There's some stuff that just hadn't gotten done, on the bottom. And that's the, okay. So, and I track those things every week. And it does two things. One, it helps me get things done in the time slots that I have available to get them done, and or be, take that look back. I don't really look in the future that much anymore. And that's, I don't know, that's probably, it's a good thing, right? Because I'm so consumed with what I have to do and what's ahead of me. I'm not thinking about the future. I'm going to make that confession and apologize, but I think that's a good place to be in one sense, because I'm just so consumed with what needs to be done. And I'm also now not taking on new things, because I'm not in growth mode per se, like I used to be.
Yeah.
And so when you're in growth mode, you just take on, and I tell you and others, take on anything, man, something's going to come around the corner and jump on it. That's what I did. But man, make no mistake about it. We all know that Bruce Cameron has jumped on different types of trains, over the years for sure. And some paid off and some didn't, but now we're, now to the point where several things are being very consistent. Now I have to devote the time to maintain and grow those things.
Yeah. Right?
And so I kind of box out. I'm not looking for new stuff per se. So in essence, that's kind of the system thus far. I mean, it is a tracking system, and I look at it daily and without judgment. I think that's the other thing that everybody needs to know. I can't sit there, oh, I didn't meet my goals, I'm a terrible person or whatever. That's not it. I mean, you do what you can, right? And then you wake up tomorrow and you do what you can, and you're gonna have good days and you're gonna have bad days. And so just kind of roll with it. We talk about live life on life's terms and those things.
Yeah.
And so that's in a nutshell where I'm at with some of the stuff.
What I like about what you said is not looking too much in the future. I'm the same. I'll get really caught up in what has to be accomplished moving forward, so much to where I leave the present and I'm not staying in the moment. And being present is extremely important for me to be effective and to do a good job. If I let myself leave the moment and then I'm no longer giving the right amount of attention and effort to what I'm supposed to be working on right now because I'm too worried about next week, then I'm messing up the whole thing.
To that point, you did a video recently about this is the time of year that you got recovery. It's an anniversary and what the reminders are and stuff like that. And those messages are really important because they're going on right now or very recently, or in the very near future. And that's what makes it meaningful to me as a listener to those things, because like, wow, this is what this guy's going through right now. This is what this guy's doing. This is the decision he's going to make about his accomplishments being for just him or for other people. And that's, I think, that's the success, I think, of a lot of your work, is that you are focused, you are mindful and in the moment. And I think people resonate with that because you see these Bitcoin people or whatever. I'm just picking on Bitcoin people, right? You're going to be a millionaire, blah, blah, blah. And they keep on going on and on about this pie in the sky stuff in the future that has so many mitigating things between where people are now and the future. You're just blowing smoke up people's tails. And then at some point people just get tired of hearing the same BS, but when you keep it in the moment and you keep it real, I think people resonate with that.
Yeah. And you know what else happens when you do that? At least what's happened for me, my experience in doing that, the time has flown by. And not only does the time fly by, but I accomplished way more than I really, I didn't plan all this. I was just doing the next right thing and doing my best at where I was at that time. Right. And that sent me further, and that gave me the ability to make more progress than if I were to just be in hyper speed and like working my tail off constantly at the next thing. And I think it, especially in the nature of what we do, if you're not present when you're working with your people, it takes a lot of, it takes away quite a bit from that relationship, and it can be a real issue. You not seem authentic or genuine, or even like you're giving the right amount of attention to the client. And I would hate for anyone to feel that way too. I like another thing that you said, and this is a good segue into the second question. Have I designed a system, or have I thrown one together? Second part of that question is, did someone else design my system for me? A second ago, you said you're no longer in growth mode. And that's exactly where I am. So I think another important thing to consider is, you know, is the system I have something that someone else told me to do, or is it tailored for where I am in my life? Because nowadays, especially if when you get into learning about coaches and you learn more about that field and you're on social media and you follow Gary V, Eric Thomas, and Donald Miller, the story time or whatever his book is called. There's all sorts of people who have their system, you know, Brendan Burchard and buy my system, use my system, use my system. I even remember we talked about this before. I even wrote a training program and then didn't. It's just like, just because a system is good and talked about and everyone says it's effective does not mean it's effective for you and where you are and where you want to be. So I think it's very important for everyone to understand where they are and to where they want to be, but not to be living a life because someone else told you to live it that way. And I think we're all susceptible to that, especially if we grew up close to our families and we have folks who have kind of really left a big impression on us and influenced us to live the way that they lived or follow this path because this is the way we do it in this family. I think about those things because my path was not anything like my mom's or dad's or brother's. It was totally different. I'm not saying anybody should follow my system because my system's a little bit flawed for about a decade. So, now what are your thoughts on a personalized system or knowing that you're living or working a system that's for you and not because someone else wants you to do it?
So back when I was in the Justice Department, we had a four quadrant system. And you get a piece of paper, make it into four squares. And quadrant one was stuff that had to be done, you know, and in law enforcement, there's a big, healthy quadrant one. And then quadrant two was the next most important stuff. And as you kind of went to quadrant three and four, the more you got out into the future. Okay. And so, so I worked a job where every day was a triage. You know, I'd triage decisions, triage things happening, stuff like that, and then kind of backed it down from there. Now that I'm in private work, I don't have as much, near as much triage, and I can focus on the two, threes, and four quadrants. Okay. But after doing it for so many years and so much repetition, I can just write down the task. You know, like I showed you guys a second ago, as sloppy as it is, I can still read my own writing or most of it and then execute on it. So So yeah, there's a lot of different systems out there, and I'm getting annoyed. These Gary V posts telling me to believe in my own reality, and some of that stuff, it's starting to piss me off. I need to get rid of that. I did it back in the day because I thought he was cool.
Yeah,
but he's still cool. Don't get me wrong, he's cool. He's cool. Yeah. But anyway. Look.
Do you feel like it lacks direction? Because I know what you're talking about. Yeah, and it seems a little bit, sometimes it's so abstract and fairy tale-ish that it's like, well, that's not practical. And how is someone supposed to take that and apply it? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like his, I'll just love everybody and love everything and do whatever you want to do. It's like, man.
Okay. Are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
From Gary V. Dive into your truth. You know the answer. Now just jump. Sounds like a Van Halen song. Okay, next one. Next one. Have the best Saturday of your life. Why not? Make yourself happy. You're in control. Then the world taught you to think.
Whoa. Oh, yeah, that one can be dangerous.
I know. Kindness is always taken for granted until it's no longer there. Keep being kind. It's always the right answer. Well, I agree with that one.
Yeah, that's fine.
Make sure you always break down things in the micro and the macro and don't blend the two. Okay. Changing your mind is a strength. New data, new decisions. So some of that stuff, you know.
Yeah. You know,
it's fine. It's fine. I think it's fine for new people and beginners and people that need them. He's operating under a variable interval reinforcement schedule. He kind of pops out of nowhere when you least expect it with a text. I think it's kind of – that's kind of cool. But anyway, I think it's okay, you know, but it's just, it's not for everybody. So that's why we do customized work, because
yeah,
we have familiarity with different types of systems and we can make a system that's tailored to our client that they're more likely to walk through the steps and do the things necessary to hit their goals. And it's overwhelming if you're out there trying to be in a self-help format because you got, like you said, Neil, you got this system and that system and the other system. But having a coach or a third party who's pretty objective and knows a lot about a different systems, we can plug people in. And we're going to be doing just that here in the next few months at a grand or semi-grand scale with people's recovery. So, yeah.
And I think I had to apologize to a client on Saturday because we were having a end of week wrap up call, talk about how the week went, where we are, our progress and things like that. And the call prior to, I had made a remark about at 90 days, typically we see these things start to happen. And I wasn't lying, you know, but what I did that I shouldn't have done was place somebody in a generalized box. Say, by now, and just like you were saying a second ago, this coaching format is individualized. It's unique to every individual. And I had to come back and I apologize. I said, hey, listen, I made this remark and that was misleading and I shouldn't have done that, but it's just how I felt about the situation. And I think, and I say that because we can all get a little distracted sometimes and forget that it's not the same for everybody. And sometimes it's just not going to work exactly how it did for this person or whatever. It's not just plug and play all the time. Yeah. And so I had to be reminded. I had to remind myself.
Right. And, but, you know, I argue the point for you. You had to do a look back and at least do some accountability.
Mm-hmm. And that's not easy to do. So when you're I know we always say that it's not easy to do, but when you have a client and you realize you made a mistake, it is really, really not easy to tell someone that has hired you and is paying you for a service and has all this confidence in you to go back and say, "Hey, I screwed up." Oh, you're in fast forward mode right now. Are you talking? Did you see it catch up?
Now I'm okay. Yeah, I had some technical issues on this end, but the look back is always necessary, you know. And my work with sexual offenders, every 90 days, probation makes them do a polygraph.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
We take a look. We take a look back at the last 90 days to see if they followed the terms and condition of the probation. Have you looked at porn? Have you drank alcohol or other drugs? And have you been with a child or a victim, a possible victim, unattended or unsupervised? That's called a maintenance polygraph. And that's a way to check to make sure our client's still going forward with their goals. And every year we do another polygraph called a monitoring polygraph to make sure they haven't reoffended, basically.
Yeah.
And that's another yearly goal thing. And we do that. And it's common practice. It's acceptable in courts of law. And it's really interesting. So it's kind of hard to say that I coach sex offenders, but that's what they really need in order to live a life where there are no more victims. And that's the goal. No more victims.
Yeah. And
so what system does this guy have to not perpetrate anymore? Or right. to have lapse behaviors or maintenance behaviors that could lead to a lapse or relapse? Because this isn't like taking a shot of dope. This is high stakes. I shouldn't minimize taking a shot of dope. I apologize, but you know what I mean?
No. Well, I in a way agree with you, and that's coming from a former dope user.
Right.
Because the victims, the impact on the victim here, because doing dope, I'm doing this to myself. And again, I'm not going to go too far into that because then people use the excuse, well, I'm not hurting anybody. I'm only doing it to myself. But again, when your behavior is directly impacting someone, they're not on a level playing field in my mind.
All of our behavior affects other people, period.
Right.
So there is that. Yeah, I would shoot that out of the water in a minute, but we won't.
Yeah. Go there. Yeah. Whether it's indirect, direct, or there's a delay to it, in time, everyone is affected by our actions. And that's we could go on for days about that topic in itself. Sure. But this is a good segue to 3, where is your system taking you? Is that where you want to go? So our system is basically our daily lives is how we're living. So is the way I'm living my life getting me to where I want to be? And every time I have a new client, this question, it's funny. It's fun to ask. It's like, where do you see yourself in your ideal life? Where would you be in 6 months? So like, oh man, I'm doing this. I'm this. I'm this. Like, all right, that's badass, man. So let's take a look at how you're living your life right now, Sunday to Saturday. Do you see that getting you there? And I'm like, oh hell no. Like, okay, well. So why are we doing this? Like, well, I don't know. I never really thought about it that way. Like, we never think about where our boat is taking us. We're just going. When I slow down and thought about where I was heading. And really, it didn't happen until I was almost there. And I realized that, oh, crap, this is not the destination I wanted to go to. I am on the wrong flight. Like, changes need to be made right now. Why we don't do this more often is beyond me. I'm not sure. Yep. But have you ever had a moment in your life where you stopped and thought about where you were headed?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Particularly if I get in my own head and I'm ruminating on something or obsessing on something, mm-hmm. that is negative and pulling me into a negative. You know, it's one thing to experience negativity and do a course correction and a pivot to then get pointed back north, but it's altogether another to sit there and linger in that. So yeah, I've been there and have had to kind of catch myself and redirect myself. With regard to evaluating your system, some of the questions that I ask is your system helping you with your short and long-term goals? Is your system, you know, helping you with your health? Does your system help with relationships? And that's interesting because I had an effective system when I was younger and building as a builder.
Yeah.
But it wasn't good for my family.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was good for my business. It was good for my brand.
Yeah.
But my family, it was not so good for my family. It was taking me away from my family. And to the point that I was abdicating some of my responsibilities. So I take a look at that. And, you know, you can only pencil whip that so far. Well, I'm being a good provider. You know what I mean? And sit there and rationalize and justify. So anyway, but yeah, there's been those times where I've had to take a look back and course correct.
I think as men, especially any man who's a career professional and someone who's driven, that's a difficult one because we're all going to struggle with it. And I think that's the importance of a life coach rather than a business coach, because sure. Your life coach is going to say, well, yeah, that's a really good system for your business, for your growth, you know, for your brand. But you have some small kids at home and you have a wife who are not real happy right now because you haven't had dinner with them in 3 weeks, you know, and I'm speaking from a position where I've never been married, never have kids. However, there are some things right now that are looking like that'll change, you know? And so the lifestyle I live right now, you know, and the work schedule I have that is abnormal to most of the people I know anyways, they think I'm an alien for my work habits, but especially my girlfriend, I know that when that becomes more than just a girlfriend, that I will not be able to show up at 10:45 on a Tuesday all the time like it's no big deal. And I've just been working, like, you know, in her mind, no, that would be neglect. You know, I don't see that as you working. I see that as you neglecting your responsibilities as, you know, a man of the house. So, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because it's real easy. It's real easy to just talk about success, you know, and do what you have to do and fight through it. Not always that simple. How is it impacting those around us? You know?
Right.
So then we have to look at how can I give my system a tune-up per se? You know, what needs to be changed and how do we go about making those changes? Are there some questions you ask yourself? Well, you just named one. You named a couple. How is this affecting relationships, your health?
Short and long-term goals.
Yeah. I always ask myself how it's impacting my my mental and emotional stability.
That was the other one I was going to add. Good job. Yep.
Yeah. And for me, it's always a number one, or at least up there, because I have history of anxiety and depression, some hints of bipolar stuff. So I've been in some real low places, and also with the history of substance and alcohol abuse, those kind of come together where if I'm not in a good place emotionally and mentally, that there are a lot of things that could also be right on the horizon if I don't address those. So those are the things I have to look at immediately.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if I left something out. I think that's going to be unique to every individual, because you and I don't have the same things that we have to check on. You know, I really have to check on some things that pertain to alcohol and drug abuse that some other people don't really have to worry about, sure. You know, like resentments. Resentments are unhealthy for anybody, but particularly it's the leading cause of relapse. So for me, a resentment is much more of a house fire than it is for other people. Some people are just cool being pissed. Mm-hmm. And they kind of run on that fuel, that piss and vinegar, you know?
Yeah. That's why I get that mirror out of the desk and hold it up to them, man. When people have that resentment, they're holding on to anger and resentments. And you wouldn't believe how that relates to the self. And, you know, if you're feeling good about yourself and have a good spiritual program, you may not harbor anger and resentments like some people do. And so it really is kind of reflection on the soul and the self, as much as people can fly victim flags and, you know, justifiably have been screwed over and victimized, but that's not how it works. So yeah, anger and resentments are a big thing that people can harbor, that can get in the way of their system.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes if I'm just emotionally distraught, if I'm feeling like something's wrong and I can't figure out what it is, I have a couple people in my life that I keep close, who I can go to and ask if they see anything. And I really just ask the question as simple as that. Hey, have you noticed anything about me that looks unhealthy? Have you seen something change in my behavior? Do I look like I'm a little bit more wound up than usual? Or have you noticed anything different? And I think those people, you know, these accountability, they'd call them accountability buddies or whatever, accountability partners.
Yep.
I just call them friends, but that's what real friends are for. And I think those people are important to have as well. Do you have people outside of course, for you, you probably have, you know, your wife. Do you have people outside of your family that you would ask those questions?
Yeah. I'll ask them, or they'll come to me with their observation. I think I've got, you know, several folks know that to talk to me immediately if they see something untoward, you know, and that we have that kind of relationship that they can just give me feedback and I won't be threatened by it. You know, that I'll just take a look at it like, yeah, you're right, you know, because I mean, I have good days and bad days. And even with the project you and I are working on, there's been some high stress days, you know, with that, and affected my relationships with the team, not so much, you know, you and Sherrod, but even other folks, you know, where I'll get in my head or whatever, or want something to go my way. Just human kind of tendency stuff when you have a lot of chefs in the pie. in a project and stuff like that. It's hard to share and play well with others, but that's what we have to do at the end of the day, you know, for some of these really, really big undertakings. You know, we can't do it ourselves. We have to get along with others, you know, and we need to be cooperative and do our part and be positive and encouraging to everybody else involved in the project. So, I don't come from that in a prison environment. It was three or four people set the tone and that was it, you know, and I was usually one of those three or four people. So
yeah,
a luxury for at least for the last 13 or so years of that career. But, it's important to have that.
Do you feel like it's been challenging as you've over the years, you've certainly worked your way up the ladder, as they would say. And so as you find yourself in more of an authoritative leadership role, do you find it a little bit more challenging to kind of humble yourself and find someone where you can ask those questions?
I mean, the overall answer is yes. Answer B is I'm getting close to 60 years old, so it's a little bit easier to surrender and have other people weigh in. It's not that big of a deal anymore like it was when I was in my 20s or 30s or early 40s. You know what I mean? I think, or at least I feel a little bit wiser, you know. Even with your situation, I knew exactly where I knew you'd be in this good predicament that you are today about a year ago, and there's two more predicaments that you're going to be in here in the next year that I've also kind of forecasted, like Isaiah. it's just facts. I mean, everything that I have forecasted has literally come to pass. That's not me. It's, I guess, being anointed with some Solomon Holy Spirit stuff here. I shouldn't even say that. It really is simple math. Once a person does 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 things in a trajectory, they're going to do 7, 8, and 9 unless they get interrupted or they stop. So it's not like, wow, you're so good. No, I can just see where you're headed.
Right.
I've worked with people for 30 some odd years, and you can just kind of see where people are headed. And the human condition is like a Snickers bar. You can only cut it up so many ways.
Yeah.
It's not that complex, folks. It's just not. We want to think it is. We want to sell our program, and I have the special edge on humanity. I don't know. It's just whatever. It's just human nature. People are people. They're always going to be people. They're always going to do certain things. Yeah.
And scaling a business is done this way. Like, you need these things and you need to make these adjustments to do this. Yeah, I agree with you. So the fifth question is, what is the first step? And I'm very grateful for you, because my first step is always to ask someone who's done it what I want to do, what I'm about to set out on a course to do. I find someone who has done that or something similar, and I then go seek counsel. I sit down with them and I say, here's what I want to do. I've seen what you've done. Can you please provide me with some direction? Is there anything you would ask me to do? Or if you were in my position, what would these steps look like and what would you avoid? That's always my first step when it comes to any goal, any new destination. I go find someone who has more experience than I do, and I go learn. I become a student, and that has been the most effective step one for me in everything. I see you thinking.
Yeah, I mean, people that know you, you have come so far so fast. You have literally done 10 years in 1 year. Or at least 6 or 7 years in 1 year of what the way that I kind of set up things. And because you've been able to make pinpoint laser correct moves and actions in a sequence that are all kind of home run moves versus a bunt or a ground ball or a fielder's choice. I had a lot of those in my career, man, but as a private practitioner. So anyway, and so now, you know, it's just now you're going to be in the similar stretch as I am, managing your growth and triaging, only taking on certain things. You're going to change. Your work is going to change. So it'll be fun.
I appreciate you saying that.
Facts, man. Straight facts. You know, I'm shocked actually, in a good way. You're like, man, oh wow, okay. You know, like
I'd be lying if I told you I wasn't surprised at least a little bit. Trust me, like I'm not. It's not that I'm not confident, but like you said, and I have a lot of people around me who, when this last, I'd say the last 7-8 months, each time I revisited with these people, they were like, "You're what?" And they almost were like, "No, they didn't believe me." And I was like, "I'm not lying."
And you made a big move here this last week. I'm not going to disclose it, but you disclosed it. You made a big move.
Yeah.
A transition move. And that's huge that you were able to make that in such a short time and stuff. So, I mean, that's amazing. So, you know what? But you get the credit. I was merely the trail guide at the beginning, you know, but you're the one that walked the trail, you know, and that's what we do with our clients, right? We're the trail guide. We help them walk their trail to the next part of their lives, man. But you walk the trail. You executed. You did what was necessary. And then some. And you did it with passion and zeal and fortitude. And you're getting back what you put into it, if not double or three or fourfold. But you put a lot into it.
Yeah.
And so you got a lot out of it because you put a lot into it.
Yep.
And that's the way it works, you know? And so, no, man. So anyway, we got a minute left. What else did you want to say?
That's it, man. Find your first step, seek direction, seek counsel, and get to work, man. Have people like Bruce. Because without that direction, it wouldn't have been such an easy launch. So that's to you. Thank you for that.
No, man. No. You deal with anybody. You know, anybody could do it. Anybody could show you their path. Anybody could make a recommendation. So you just happen to stumble on me. So, anybody could do this, man. Anybody can do it. You know, there's nothing special. It's just a little bit of training and a little bit of wisdom and just, you know. Well, folks, that was a marvelous show we had today. And remember, take a look at your system. And if your system's working, keep working it. Have people around you. If it's not working, seek counsel and feedback from others. And don't be afraid to retool. Don't be afraid. You know, it's okay. Don't judge yourself. Just make the adjustments and keep pointed. If you're at least pointed north, that's a spiritual victory. You don't have to be moving north, but at least if you're pointed north at some point, hopefully you'll move north. So
absolutely.
So Neil, how can folks reach us and you on social media?
You can find us at concierge_coaches on Instagram, and we're also on Facebook at the Concierge Coaches Show. You can find me at ElevatedLifestyleAcademy.com and Elevated Lifestyle Academy on social media platforms. Bruce, where can folks find you?
ConcierceCoach.net. So with that, everybody, have a great week and a blessed week. Stay safe. And we'll see you here next time on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Take care, everybody. See you next time.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Neil Williams, only on LA Talk Radio.